Father, this morning, I thank you for your direction. I thank you for your Spirit speaking to the hearts of men, to your people, Lord, giving them words of life, words of value, words to live by, words to bless in the time of need for those we come in contact with. Once again this morning, Lord, we want to know what you know. We want to see what you see. We want to think the things that you think. We want to hear from you this morning, Lord. I yield myself to you. Have your way and your will. This is your word, Lord. You use it. I thank you for the ability to put it together, Lord, as you spoke to me, as you directed me. And now, Lord, I thank you for the outcome in lives that are going to bring encouragement, comfort, exhortation this morning, Lord. For this I praise and thank you and give you glory forever. And I thank you, Lord, even now, for your word going in and accomplishing what it's sent to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Once again this morning, I want to ask, what are the things, or where are your values this morning? Where are my values? And I found it interesting as God spoke a word to me. You know, sometimes I get curious. I've heard scriptures forever, and sometimes I'm tattling on myself, but I get really curious. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, we hear the words, and we kind of lightly gloss over some things, and we think we have an understanding, but we really don't even have any understanding at all. How many know what I'm talking about? And so I get curious. And in the curiosity that I had for this particular scripture that God gave me in the message, I found some things quite interesting, things that blessed my heart. And again, I ask that question. I don't just ask it of you. I ask it of me, too. Work out your own salvation, the Bible says. But I want to read you a scripture first that God impressed upon me while we were in praise and worship this morning. I know it's a favorite verse for some people in this house, but it's so apropos. Romans 8, this has nothing to do with the message, this is free. Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, if you will, turn with me to Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. Praise the Lord. I began to see and understand. I use the word see also. I think it's appropriate. Some things as I was looking at this and studying this week that excited me. It thrilled my soul. I guess if I was to put a title to this, or what I believe the title was that God gave me, is treasure or treasured, and treasured, I should say. Let's start with Exodus 19, verses 1 through 6. In the third day, the month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness, so Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God and the Lord, and called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children, Yes, I have seen, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure. I believe in the King James it says peculiar to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Now, one of the things we know is the fact that we are grafted in to that vine. Because of Christ in our lives and the work that Jesus did, we now are of the seed of Abraham, grafted into that vine. Praise the Lord. Now in verse 5 it says, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, that you shall be a special," or as I said in the King James, "a peculiar treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Now this particular word treasure means possession, property, valued property, peculiar treasure, or a treasure. So in other words, what he's saying there in that scripture is, if you keep my covenant, then you shall be to me a special possession, special valued property, and a treasure to me. So God's telling us what his treasure is. Amen? In Webster, when I looked up that word, it means something of great worth or value. A person esteemed as rare or precious, a collection of precious things. And then I looked at the word precious, and precious means of great value or high price. What's the price that was paid for you and I?
Jesus.
Pretty high priced. Amen?
Yeah.
Probably the highest price that has ever been paid for anyone or anything. Amen?
Yeah.
Highly esteemed or cherished. Do you know that you're highly esteemed or cherished in God's eyes? He cherishes you. He and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they cherish you. You're precious. And one of the things I found that was absolutely amazing to me is something that is excessively refined. Amen? Ha! Precious, a peculiar, precious treasure. And then I looked up the word peculiar in Webster. Characteristic of only one person, group, or thing, or something that is different from normal or usual. So we read in the scripture, what we're understanding is that if we keep his covenant, when we become one of his own, then what God's saying is you at that point become a peculiar or a precious treasure to me. A special treasure to me. You're of great value. When God saw the sin that happened in the garden, he had the plan already in place. I mean, he had the ability, you know, we all know this, he had the ability just to take, you know, these lumps of clay and say, that's it, let's start again, next. And he didn't do that. So God, even from the foundations of the world before Adam and Eve, and then during and after Adam and Eve, had his value in us. We know that because we know he said that he created us for his pleasure and for fellowship with him. Sometimes I don't think we actually get a grip on that and understand that totally, what that really means. You are of value to God. Now, of course, obviously, where I'm leading to in part of this message is, once again, I ask, where are our values? Do we value him? Do we esteem him? Is he the things we've just defined to us? Amen? Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself." Once again, a special or peculiar treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. Now, what does that mean? Since we know God is not a respecter of persons, what does that mean? It goes back to another fact that sometimes we overlook. I hear people ask, you know, in fact, there's a young Hispanic man that works in the building. He's the day porter for the building where I work. He came to me the other day, and we were talking about, he just said, man, I don't, you know, why do people do the things they do? And one of the things I told him is, well, because basically, these were not the exact words, but the words are, those who don't know God are God's creation, but they're not His children. They're not of His family. There's two entities in the Bible, we know that. Hey, this is not a newsflash. There's two entities in the Bible. I would encourage you, read through, I can't remember, I think it's John 18 or maybe it's John 8, I can't remember, but it's verse 44. Well, I am going to read it. I am going to read it because I think it's important that we bring continuity and to this message. I believe it's John 8:44. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, the leaders of the day. I'll start in verse 30-42. It says, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I preached forth, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and his desires, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own." This just blew out at me. Resources. "For he is a liar and the father of it." Pretty powerful indictment. Praise the Lord. "For you," in Deuteronomy 7:6, "for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you." Chosen you. We've been chosen. We know we've been bought with a price, but we have been chosen. We have been, once again, grafted into that vine, so we are part of that chosen generation, that royal priesthood. Amen? Deuteronomy 14:2 says, "For you are a holy people." In fact, it's repeated again in Deuteronomy 14:2. Basically the same exact thing. "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." Now, Deuteronomy 28:12 says, "The Lord will open to you His good treasure." The treasure we were just talking about is 54:59, and that was the possession, property, valued property, peculiar treasure, or a treasure. In this particular verse, it's an entirely different word, treasure, an entirely different meaning for the same word. "The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all," did you get that? "All, the work of your hand," all the work of your hand. "You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow." That word treasure there is from 214 in the concordance. It's the number 214 in your concordance. And what it means is a storehouse, a store, or supplies of food and drink, treasury, a house, or a magazine of weapons. Are you with me? 28:12, Deuteronomy 28:12, and what I just gave you was the concordance number for the verbs for this particular word, treasure. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So when I saw that definition, a magazine of weapons, God doesn't give us puny things to deal with the things that go on in our lives or when the enemy comes or to fight battles with. He gives us weapons that are what? Mighty. Yeah. Through Him. Yeah. So that we have the ability in Him and through His ability and His weapons, the weapons in His magazine. Everybody here, I think, knows that a magazine is where you store powder and guns and all that kind of thing. Okay, today we might call it a gun locker, all the same. To the pulling down of strongholds. We have weapons that absolutely are effective and will accomplish what they are used for, used in the proper manner. Amen? Hallelujah. So that means that God, you know, with God's picture and His understanding and His what He's revealing to us about treasure is He has all those things, and they're available to us because He values us and because He's already made the determination that if we'll walk with Him, we'll serve Him, we'll come through on the other side. Amen? Magazine, storehouse. In that particular last part of that definition, it's used by God, now listen carefully, for rain, snow, hail, wind, and sea. In that scripture we read that the Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give you the rain to your land in its season. So the last part of this is going on talking not only about weapons and about the value, but the resources that we need to treasure. Amen? Well, I say, what are you treasuring today? And that means even the seasons and the elements in those seasons. Therefore, a good purpose and a value. Amen? Praise the Lord. I looked up that word good. Basically, it's 2890 is the concordance number. And that word good means rich, valuable, pleasant, excellent, prosperous, or bounty. Wouldn't you say our treasure in Him, putting our treasure in Him, gives us riches and richness, gives us value? We know we're valuable to Him. They're pleasant, they're excellent, and prosperous and bountiful. Amen? It's my good pleasure to give to you the kingdom down here. I will supply all of your need according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 6:21, and this is the same word as we read in... Let me back up here. This is a different word again. This word treasure is 23:44. We'll give you that definition in a minute. But everyone here knows Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God's already revealed to us through His Word where His treasure is and how He values us, that we are His treasure. Amen? Called and chosen and set apart for Him. Amen? Our responsibility is to make that same decision for Him. The word treasure there in this particular scripture, Matthew 6:21, means the place in which good and precious things are collected and laid up. Now listen carefully. A casket, a coffer in which valuables are kept. Listen to me carefully, folks. We think of this from the aspect of ourselves, where our treasure is. But think about it from the aspect of the Father. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Because you are valued and you are a treasure to Him, His heart is after you and I. Amen? So part of emulating Him is having the same value, putting our treasure in Him and the things that He's provided for us, the things that He's done, not for our selfish consumption, but for the being able to be a blessing to the world and the kingdom of God. Amen? That's where our heart needs to be. That's where our treasure needs to be. What you value is where your heart is. Now, I'm sorry, I didn't write this. God wrote this. So if this is making you uncomfortable, then make it right and move on. Amen? Move on. Webster, the word treasury came to me, and that word treasury, which is where I looked at the casket or coffer in which valuables are kept, is a place, this is from Webster Dictionary, a place in which stores of wealth are kept, a place of deposit and disbursement of collected funds. You and I are coffers for valuable things that we receive, amen? But that doesn't mean we store them. We store them so we can disburse them to touch others, to minister to the kingdom of God, minister for the kingdom of God, and minister to a lost and dying world. Are we so in love with God and His Word that we put the value on it, that we treasure it, that we need to? Or are we still, in some areas, working out our salvation and got a hold of some things that we really need to release? That's between you and God. That's not between anybody else. But let the Holy Spirit minister to you, whatever that means to you. Amen? His Word doesn't return void. It accomplishes what it's sent to do. And every seed brings forth fruit in its season. Praise the Lord. A place in which stores of wealth, not just a little bit or a few, but stores of wealth are kept. The place of deposit and disbursement of collected funds. Matthew 12:35 says, a good man out of the good treasure, again 23:44 out of the concordance, of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the good evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. That word good there is the number 18 in the concordance. It's what it's saying is a good or a useful, salutary, upright or honorable man out of the good treasure, again, the place where good, in which good and precious things are collected and laid up, brings forth those good things, those useful, salutary, upright and honorable things. However, the evil man, and that is 4190 in the concordance, if you want to look it up. Amazing. Boy, if this doesn't hit the nail on the head. But an evil man is an annoyance. He brings hardship. He presses and harasses, brings perils, pain, trouble, and bad nature or condition. And he brings disease and blindness, because that's what he has in his treasure. That's where his heart is. In evil things. So he not only has and he is, but he brings annoyances to others, hardships, harasses laborers. Isn't that you and I? Aren't we laborers for the Lord? Perils and pain. How many know when something comes up that we're uncomfortable with, or when the enemy's attacking, you know that these things pretty much are summed up in a final synopsis. Amen? Trouble, bad nature, condition, and he brings disease and blindness. What I mean by that is the very thing that kind of we talked about this morning earlier, is the fact that there is so much garbage going on in this world, and why is it going on in the world? Because men loved darkness rather than light. What does that mean? That means they love their ways, they love the things they're involved in, they love living for the moment, collecting everything they can, not understanding that tomorrow they'll die and they'll be separated from God forever. That's not God's plan. See, God even treasures those people. However, they're not the ones he says are a peculiar people. They're not a treasure to him. He values them in the respect that he doesn't want to see them perish, but they're not in the position that you and I are. Are you beginning to see the position that you and I actually have in the kingdom and in God's eyes? That's pretty great. That's pretty great. Hallelujah. So not only should we understand how God values us, but we should understand also where our values are. And where the things that are important, what things we put importance on and value on in our lives. Amen? Praise the Lord. Did anybody hear anything they maybe not have understood or heard before? I was blessed by this. When I see things like this, this brings new appreciation and gives me a new value for the things that God's given me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Matthew 13:44. I'll just turn to it real quick. You can write it down. In closing, Matthew 13:44. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Parable of the hidden treasure. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Is that the kind of value we put on the things of God? Before we knew God, we had no idea these things existed. These blessings. Tremendous blessings. In this particular scripture, it talks about this parable. It talks about a man who found it. And he hid it for the moment. But then he took everything of value that belonged, that was his, and he sold it, so that he could go and buy that field where most likely there was even more buried treasure. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Verse 45, "And the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. But when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought that pearl of great price." You're a pearl of great price to the Lord, to God, the Father. Does he have the same value in your life? I remember a song I used to sing called "The Highest Praise." Quite simply stated, in the last part of the chorus of that song, it says, "The highest praise I can give today is to give my life to you." When you give your life, if you think about it, that doesn't show that there's anything held back. Amen? Are we willing to give up everything for Him? Everything. Everything that we value as important in our lives, or have valued as important in our lives. Everything that we esteem highly in our lives for Him. We all know the scripture says, if you lose your life for His sake, you gain it back. But if you try to keep your life, you'll lose it. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm ready to give Him all this morning. How about you? In a new way. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you know what? In doing it, I've not lost anything. You and I don't lose anything in this transaction. We gain everything. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's enough to get excited about. That's enough to put peace and joy in your heart. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We have come into this house and gathered in your name to worship you, to worship Christ the Lord. Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit, take this word . Cause these seeds that have been sown today, Lord, to go into every heart. I thank you, Lord, they're falling on and being planted in hearts of flesh, or hearts that are receptive, soft. That's what I'm trying to say, soft, pliable, open to you, Lord. And bring forth a harvest of fruit from that will totally blow the kingdom of God away. It'll cause your glory to be seen in this earth for men and women to see and know you are alive and well. And in us who have struggled, let it bring peace. We're not going to do or be weary in well doing, Lord, because we know that even now, whether we have it in our hand, it's still done. It's finished. It's ours. That's our confession. And even now, we are reaping from that, Lord. Thank you, Father. Touch hearts today through your word. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Do we need to pray about anything? Lord.
First off, this is our gift to you. We thank you so much. And I also wanted to give a testimony. When you work at home, the Lord is faithful to bring people to you. So I get knocks at the door, and I'm always faithful to answer. And I think one of the an interesting thing, the people who come to the door that are trying to sell you something, whatever they want to tell you, it's a perfect opportunity to, you've got a captive audience because they want to stick around to get what they want, and so that's a perfect time to give them some truth. So one of the knocks at the door happened to be a young lady that was working to sell newspapers in order to get a scholarship and so forth. And so through the course of the conversation, you know, I'm going to bring up something more important than newspapers, because I'm not interested in the newspaper. I'm interested in, what does she need? What does she really need? And through the course of the conversation, it came up that she said, and this is something that basically you're going to hear in the schools now, knowledge is power. And so we got to talking about that a little bit, and what I had to do basically was boil it down to black and white. Knowledge is nothing without Jesus. Knowledge is nothing without Jesus. In fact, the only knowing that you need is know him and the one whom he has sent. And I defined that for her too, what eternal life was. It's simply knowing God, not knowledge, not all that stuff we think's important. Praise God, because I encouraged her, because she said she goes to church and so forth, and she was backing down on our words, trying to put God first and all that. And I encouraged her. I said, well, I hope you get your scholarship, because you have something those people in those schools need. You know, you have something. At least you're going to church. You're getting some knowledge of him. And so, you know, hopefully she'll be able to take something with her. Praise God. Because, amen, we need resources far beyond, like he's talking about the magazine, right? Well, the government just fired $700 billion at the, you know, at the stock market, trying to hold it up, and it, you know, hey, it's just almost like fluff. It's nothing, you know. So what we have is far beyond,
yes,
far beyond all those resources. And one word of God is more powerful than $1 billion or a trillion, whatever. So, amen. We trust in him. God bless.
It's worth more too.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I agree with Patrick. Knowledge is power. The knowledge of God brings power and authority into your life. Amen? Gives you the ability to walk in it, right? Hallelujah. Any other knowledge is just, it's almost worthless. Because without Him, we can't do anything, right? But I also want to make an observation here. I was thinking about that. We talk about $700 billion. And I don't know of any person in this room, maybe I'm wrong, who can even fathom what $1 billion looks like, let alone $700 billion. And yet, that doesn't even compare to the wealth that God has, and that it belongs to God, because it all belongs to Him. And not only that, He has in His coffer the ability to back it up, unlike the U.S. government. Amen? Hallelujah. One of the things that I noticed as I was studying this, when it talked about being a lender to many nations but not a borrower, when you think about that, that just enhances the fact that we have ungodly people running our government. And I don't know how many people think about this, but this is not a government by the people, for the people anymore. And the shame is because we've lost sight of what light and life is all about. That's right. Amen. I don't know about you. I want to be part of that army that goes and takes ground back. Amen. I don't know what that means. That's between you and God. Let God tell you what it means for you and to you. Amen. But I know that I'm willing. I'm ready, willing, and able. Amen. Hallelujah. And remember that through Christ, you and I can do all things. Amen. Just a final note. Unless God reveals to you, you will never know the value that I place on you people. I thank you for your gift. I really don't know how to handle this, but I know the value that God puts on you, and I know that that's the value that I value you with. And you all are precious, not because of what you did this morning, but because of who you are. I value your friendship. I value your fellowship. Your family. You're part of the body. And once again, I can't make it without you. And if it weren't for you, there wouldn't be a reason for me to be here. Do you understand? And I'm talking within the calling that God's placed on my life. I thank you. I humbly thank you. It is a humbling experience for me. I get very uncomfortable in situations like this. Amen. God deserves all the credit and the glory, not me. So I want to give it back to Him. Amen? Anyway, Father, we thank you for this time again. We thank you, Lord, for this day, for your presence, for your word. We thank you, Lord, it's going to accomplish and be used in the way that you need it used or want it used in our lives. Now, Lord, we sanctify the food and the fellowship. We receive it with thanksgiving, and we give you praise and honor and glory for this day, for the spiritual food, and for the physical food. In Jesus' name, and all who agree, say amen.